Well, today is a day of history. Today is a historic day. I keep mentioning that if you have children, grandchildren, students, congregants who don't anticipate or don't appreciate, rather, the incredible historic element that's going to be happening at 12 noon Eastern time at the White House with representatives of Israel, the United States, Bahrain, and the UAE, then you have to tell them. You have to explain to them why today is history. In fact, one of the people, a woman from New Jersey, is with us live via telephone. We're going to introduce Ariella Steinreich. Believe it or not, she has a lot to do with the present and future of the UAE and its relationship with Israel and the Jewish world, and we'll explain all that coming up. But first, I'm going to beg her patience and just remind everybody that there is a historic deal today that Israel and the UAE is signing at the White House. As the Jerusalem Post tells us, it'll be a peace treaty. Prime Minister Netanyahu said Monday that he's upgrading the event from a formal recognition of ties with two Gulf states, including Bahrain, and now it's actually going to be a peace agreement. It had previously been unclear if the agreement to be signed will be normalization or peace, since Israel and the UAE had not previously been at war. Netanyahu said, "We worked on it for many years. This is a tremendous turning point in the history of Israel and the Middle East. It'll have great and positive influence on all citizens of Israel." And he promised that more countries are on the way as well. And if you missed my conversation earlier with Ross Creel of the Jewish Council of the Emirates, check out the archive, Nahum Segal Network app, NahumSegal.com. He describes just how much this is going to affect the region, how much it's going to affect, in a positive way, Israel, the Jewish world, and he describes from his point of view how many more countries are likely going to be doing this down the road, which is pretty amazing. The four sides involved agreed not to make any parts of the agreements public before the signings, but a source in the Prime Minister's delegation said they will discuss cooperation between the countries. The ceremony is expected to take place on the White House South Lawn. 1,000 people invited. Israel has sought to have its delegation stand at a distance from the rest so that its members will not have to be quarantined due to coronavirus restrictions upon their return to Israel. Many of you are familiar with what's going on in Israel regarding that. And in terms of Bahrain, I'm going to do this quickly, but it's an important timeline. We went through some of the timeline with the UAE, especially since Ross, you know, really outlined for us his history over the last 12 years there. In Bahrain, in the 2013-2015 window, King Hamad led the effort for the Gulf Cooperation Council, we'll call it the GCC, to legislate Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. Following his success in doing so, he told Rabbi Schneier, who has discussed Bahrain with us many times on the air, later appointed as a special advisor to the king in 2018, during a meeting in his palace in Manama in 2016, that, quote, "our only hope for a strong, moderate Arab voice is a strong Israel." 2017, after the President Trump, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, the king sent an interfaith mission from Bahrain to Israel, the first to do so from any Gulf state. 2018, following His Majesty the King's invitation that Rabbi Schneier bring a delegation from the Hampton Synagogue to visit the kingdom, in February, the group flew to the kingdom and met with government officials and the leadership of the Jewish community. They met with former Ambassador Bahrain to the U.S., Parliament members, and many others. In November, Israel's Economic Minister Eli Cohen was invited by the Bahrain government to participate in the Conference on Modern Technology. April of 2019, a delegation from Israel's foreign ministry was invited to participate in the Conference on Entrepreneurship. In June, Bahrain hosted the White House Peace to Prosperity workshop. Many of you remember that, and while that was exciting on its own, more exciting was the fact that the Bahrain government welcomed 7 Israeli journalists for the first time to the kingdom, including the Jerusalem Post, Times of Israel, Channel 13, Khan, Israel Hayom, and others. Rabbi Schneier, as he was sitting with the foreign minister, asked him if he'd consider giving an interview to one of the Israeli journalists who had just met him, or that he had just met with. He immediately said he would, and that he should bring him over. And during that historic interview with the Times of Israel, he shared, quote, "Israel is part of the heritage of this whole region historically, so the Jewish people have a place amongst us." That same year, the Sheikh applauded Israel for cleaning out the tunnels in the north, and also tweeted his support for Australia for recognizing West Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. And then finally, in July, Bahrain's former foreign minister met with Israel's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Israel Katz, in Washington. In October, Israeli Foreign Ministry Counterterrorism Director Dana Benavisti visited Bahrain for a security conference on Iran. So those of you who are wondering about the we've talked about a lot about over the last few weeks about the UAE relationship with Israel and some of the things that have been done. Those of you who are wondering about Bahrain jumping on the bandwagon, plenty of reason to do so in terms of the relationship that they have had with Israeli officials and with important Jews around the world over the last few years. Now, Ariella Steinreich is with us live via telephone, Senior Vice President at Steinreich Communications. Steinreich has announced, the group has announced, as it continues to be an international public relations agency headquartered in the New York area with a largest number of Israeli and Jewish clients of any agency, they've announced the formation of a new practice area within its corporate group that's working with clients in the UAE and Israel, looking to expand their businesses in both countries after the historic announcement of the normalization of relations by their national leaders just a few weeks ago. The group's already working with leading businesses, not-for-profits, healthcare, and education clients to develop and implement communication strategies to help them grow their businesses and customer bases in the other market. Its current clients in the space will move into this group, and additional companies and organizations have reached out in the last 2 weeks asking to join as well. Ariella Steinreich, who's with us live via telephone, is leading the new specialty group. And again, she is with us live via telephone. I'm going to say to you what I said to Ross earlier, Ariella, mazal tov. This really is truly a celebratory day in the Jewish world.
Good morning to you and your listeners, Nachum, and I completely agree with you. Today is historic, and I think September 15th, 2020 is going to go down as a historic day in Israeli textbooks for years to come.
No question about it. And we should start with this. Your Steinreich Communications group, even before the UAE was involved, and we'll talk about that new effort, of course, I mean, you have offices all around the world, right? Europe and other places. And I would assume that in terms of groups that work in Israel and other countries, there's probably no one larger than you guys. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And
we've been doing work in the Gulf as well for years and years. The only thing new here is that Israel now can enter into that discussion.
Right. And because you've been doing work in the Gulf, I would have to assume you are likely the only firm, especially one of your size, that actually can claim clients in the Gulf region, in Israel, and in other parts of the world.
Absolutely. And we're really proud to be the first global PR firm with a wholly owned office in Tel Aviv, who will now have a presence in the Emirates.
You know, it's funny. Earlier when we spoke with Ross, I sort of said to him, I don't know if I've said it exactly like this, but, you know, he went ahead and made an investment in terms of the Jewish community of the UAE. I mean, quite clearly, a real sacrifice, you know, and worked very hard to watch it grow. Your firm has been involved in the Gulf, Bahrain, and other areas for quite a while. At what point did your firm start to make its own investment, so to speak, with your partners in that area?
Oh, that's years back. Before I even came to the firm, I had been working in the Gulf, primarily in communications related to oil and gas. And then when I came here, Jewish companies who are already doing or who are interested in doing business in the Gulf and wanted somebody to help them with their communications and their media strategy and who understood both the landscape there and what they did, all of a sudden they started, you know, coming. So we've been at this already for more than 5 years.
And was it very limited then, like 5 years ago, because they are, you know, quite honestly, they're Jews and many of them, you know, likely have something to do with Israel. Was it very limited and was there a great hesitation among the Gulf countries like the UAE, Bahrain, and others to do business like that?
Absolutely not. I think people would be surprised, actually, how
yeah.
many Jewish businesses were doing things there. I mean, I've flown with Israel, you know, stickers on the back of my passport, not had any issues. Really, people would be surprised. There's a ton of business that's going on. And like I said, the only thing different now, which is, I think, very exciting for both sides, is that Israelis can participate in it. And the biggest secret, so to speak, for Israel is if you get in now with the UAE and Bahrain, it's going to be so much easier to then move over into the other Gulf states once they lock on with Israel. So Saudi Arabia, Oman, Kuwait, Qatar, all of them. Once you're in one place in the Gulf, it's very easy to transfer to the others.
So has your phone been ringing off the hook?
Absolutely.
And you've been to both countries, right? You've been to both of the countries that are going to be on the White House South Lawn today, right?
I have. And I've been to, I know you spoke with Ross earlier, I spent many Shabbases with him in his shul, and it's wonderful.
Does this move by Steinreich Communications mean that someone like yourself is going to be spending an an inordinate amount of time in the Gulf region?
Good question. Definitely spending a lot more time in the Gulf, but already, I do go several times a year. And we do work, again, not just those two, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, right, and others as well. So I think it's just going to be a natural extension of that.
Is there travel now to the Gulf region? Can someone in New York City actually get on a plane and not worry about COVID rules or isolation when they get to the Gulf?
Well, the UAE was the first one to reopen, and they did that in the beginning of July. And now Bahrain has reopened. Obviously, there are certain restrictions in place. Saudi Arabia just announced the reopening. And I think we're going to, shortly we'll see the other ones come online as well.
Ariella Steinreich is with us live via telephone. I mean, many people know that you've done a lot of work with Rabbi Schneier over the years. Do you even remember how he first was introduced into the Gulf region? I mean, there are a lot of rabbis in this world. Most do not travel to places like that and form relationships with people who lead those countries. Do you even remember how it all started?
That was way before my time, and he tells the story so much better than me. But that was in like 2008, and he's been doing work, like you said, for years since. We also have other clients who have been doing work there for about a decade or so. I think that the opportunities are endless, and anybody who's interested, there's an opportunity. And I'll tell you one other really exciting development from last week, but yeah, the government of Abu Dhabi has now declared that all hotels, there's about 160 of them in that specific emirate, must now have kosher food, both on their room service menus as well as any eateries within the hotel. And more exciting is that they want to have Pesach programs already for 2021.
It's funny that all these things are being implemented at a time when very few people can go there or might not be comfortable, getting on a plane in general. But I guess the point is that once travel reopens, that whole infrastructure is going to be set up already, huh?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you the other thing people might not realize. The way that they've gone about both when they, shut down travel and also their reopening in the Gulf is something that should really be celebrated. And I think other countries as well should look at how they've done it. They've done it through a very meticulous process, and their numbers really reflect it.
Yeah, I hear that. Ariella Steinreich is with us. So the strangest request you've gotten so far, because as you say, your phone's been ringing off the hook for the last couple of weeks since your firm announced that you're formally working to help companies who want to, make inroads in this Gulf region. The strangest call you've gotten has been what? You don't have to give us specific names, but can you give us a concept that someone came up with that you found to be unusual?
Of them were strange, actually. What was so interesting to me and what takes me back is how many people really thought this through. And it was very clear that Israeli companies had been thinking about this for years.
Wow.
And Emirati companies had been, thinking about this for years. So in a funny way, it was almost just that the light switch now went on that they can actually do it. But I'll tell you an interesting story that happened both with the UAE as well as with Bahrain. One of the journalists actually tweeted out afterwards, it was the first time that she had ever made a call from Israel, which is 972. That's their country code. The first time she ever called the Emirates, which is 971. And then just yesterday, the first time 973, which is Bahrain. So in a funny way, they're all consecutive numbers, and they could never speak. And so that's how basic this is.
Pretty amazing, I'll tell you. A lot of symbolism going on in this whole thing, that's for sure. And a lot of countries are looking on, I don't want to say with envy, but with great interest, let's put it that way, right? I mean, you mentioned some of them already, but even the even the enemies of Israel and the enemies of peace have got to be looking at Washington today, with great interest.
I completely agree. I think Iran is probably very concerned from, what this means in terms of the moves that are being made. And I firmly believe you're going to see one more pretty soon, and I don't think the other ones are going to be too far behind. I think Saudi Arabia is going to happen in our lifetime as well, and I know there's a lot of Jewish business already going on there, and the ability to work openly with Israelis is very exciting, both for on the pedestrian level, right, with business to business, as well as even the people in the streets. There's the whole tone in the Gulf has changed. I'm sure you've seen in the UAE and in Bahrain, the people are taking to Twitter. They're very excited about this, very excited to visit Israel, to work with Israelis, and the opportunity is amazing.
I just read the article how in the UAE they're now implementing as soon as they can into their curriculum, positive aspects of Israel for their younger grades so that kids grow up now and realize that, what the government has done is really important and really significant. And as we know, the indoctrination, both positive and negative, of the children in a country, serves for a real look into what the future of that country will be. So hopefully they'll be raising children now who have a positive attitude toward Israel.
And once those children grow up and they become business leaders,
yeah,
it will only further expand the opportunities for them to work with Israeli companies. Now, that being said, there are definitely a lot of cultural divisions between the two. There are certain ways of working in Israel that are going to have to get massaged a little bit before they start working, you know, with the Emirates and with Bahrainis. The joke is that there's no, you know, there's no Hebrew word for let's wait and see, because Israeli business people don't like to wait. In the Gulf, if you pounce too quickly, they actually think it's like you're trying to pull something over on them. So there are going to be a lot of these cultural and even communication, both verbal and nonverbal, things that are going to have to be learned through this process. But to your point, when teaching about tolerance, which I know Russ talked to you about earlier, how tolerant their society is,
right,
but when teaching that and inculcating it within children at a young age, it only helps to bolster the opportunities, because those kids will grow up, and as they grow up, they will be more tolerant of one another, and then as they, you know, work in business, as they lead business, there'll be more opportunity for them as well.
Boy, you need consultants there just to remind you about, you know, what the local customs are and how, you know, people, as you just described, shouldn't rush things. They should understand the mentality of the people who lead the UAE, right? I mean, you need to know all those nuances.
Absolutely. You should not go without at least first reading up on what you need to know.
Right.
That's definitely the truth. And there are people like us, and there are books that you can read to kind of get the quick how-to tips. But the opportunity is incredible. And I think, you know, I said this to somebody last week, just think the fact that Abu Dhabi would mandate all their hotels to have kosher food, they're more advanced than United States hotels or hotels in Europe. We don't have that. We're lucky that most hotels we can go into, we can get access to some kosher item, you know, packaged good.
Right.
But the fact that they're going to make this mandatory is just incredible.
You know, not to give you more work, but I mean, any major kosher company based in this country has got to be crazy not to look into the possibility of exporting to the UAE at this point.
Absolutely, because again, it's not just exporting it to the UAE. Once you get there and once
right,
you're a trusted brand, it's so easy to move to the other ones. You know, I was in Saudi Arabia earlier this year. You'd be shocked. There's kosher food in Saudi Arabia. Not kosher, you know, prepared food, but packaged goods that come from the UK or where else. So for kosher brands, it's really not difficult. Israeli brands, it might be a little bit more difficult, you know, for the other Gulf states at the moment. But the opportunity is incredible. All you have to do is reach out and say, you know, I want to go into that market, and there are people like us who are available to help you do so.
Boy, Jews of 50 years ago and maybe even more recently would never believe the contents of this conversation, frankly. Just unbelievable. Ariella Steinreich, a senior vice president over at Steinreich Communications, she's leading this new specialty group, a practice area within the corporate group that's working with clients in the UAE and Israel looking to expand their businesses in both countries after this historic announcement that's already happened, but obviously is going to be formalized today with the UAE and Bahrain, with Israel and the U.S. obviously as partners later today at the White House. Ariella, anything you'd like to add?
I think this is an incredibly exciting way to go into the new year. We're only a few days out from Rosh Hashanah. We've got 2 out of the 6 Gulf states already confirmed. I think we're going to see more in the coming year ahead. And I'd just like to wish you and your listeners a Shana Tova.
I appreciate that. Shana Tova to you. And by the way, I should make good on my plea to kosher companies and others that, you know, should jump on this opportunity. I guess the best thing to do would be to give out your contact information over at Steinreich Communications, right? They should be in touch with you.
Thank you. Yes, you're welcome to call us. We're at 212-491-1600. You're welcome to visit our website, scompr.com, and we're happy to help. And for the kosher brands out there, remember that kosher is halal. So the opportunity
right,
is more than even just the kosher marketplace. It's the Muslim marketplace as well.
Steinreich Communications, ask for Ariella. It's a real opportunity here, folks. 212-491-1600. Again, 212-491-1600. You can also go to the web, scompr.com, scompr.com. Ask for Ariella Steinreich, and who knows, you and your company, whether it's food or something else, might be available soon in the Gulf region, which is pretty remarkable. Ariella, happy, healthy, and sweet new year. Thanks for so much for everything you do for us here at the Nachum Segal Network, and for really spearheading this effort. A lot of people are going to benefit from it, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Nachum. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
More coming up. It's a Tuesday morning broadcast at JM in the AM.